Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Yod Dalet Amud Bet, taking a look at the next piece in our study of the Mishnah Perak Aleph. Netar Vayim Asasheni Shein Dama Viduin Mishlosha. The next section of the Mishnayot, which is just before we get to Dinei Nefashot and completes all of those circumstances where we require three, or perhaps a variation of three, such as five, we've seen seven, deals with different appraisals that the Beit Din does on different kinds of kodshim, and therefore how much you have to lay out in order to redeem them. So the Mishnah said that Maaser Sheni Netar Revai, which need to be redeemed, if the money is not known, if the value is not known. Tanu Rabbanan, Ezo Maaser Sheni Shendava Viduin, what is that? Perot Shehekivu, fruit went bad, rotted. V'yayin Shekrimer, wine went sour. If you have money of Maaser Sheni and the money, the coins went rusty. So therefore, we don't know how much it's worth. Tanu Rabbanan, Maaser Sheni, because otherwise, just go to the marketplace, see what the value of bananas is or whatever you have. Maaser Sheni Shendava Viduin, Podino Tob Bishlosha Lekuchot. You get three different buyers, and they give you their assessment. You can't get three just with the regular guys. Even if one of them is not Jewish, or even if one of them is the owner, you just need three buyers, three people who buy fruit and know this stuff. What if you have three guys, but they're partners? So can they be considered three or one? A man and his two wives can do it. So that seems to indicate if that all three of them are financially partnered, that it's still okay. No. Dilmukin on Rapapa Uvat Abba Surah. Rapapa and his wife, who was a rich lady, had a separate financial, were independent financially of each other. And therefore, in a circumstance like that, maybe a man and his two wives can do it, because there is no issue of Dayonim or of Edim, so there's a cure of a problem, but they do have to be financially separate from each other. Hekdeshot bishlosha. We said regular hekdesh, again, determining the value, is bishlosha. So matnitin loki aitana. It doesn't follow this breita, this opinion. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Again, as we had in the previous podcast, our Mishnah does not follow Mishnatos Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Afilut sinora shel hekdesh tzricha asar b'nei adam. Even a pious little thing of hekdesh, a stick, needs 10 men, 10 to assess it. So any hekdesh needs 10, as we'll see in some circumstances on our Mishnah. Amar Rav Papa Labaye, Bishlam Rav Elzer ben Yaakov, Damar Kishmuel. So we understand Rav Elzer ben Yaakov's position. He's quoting Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Asara Konim Tuvin Parsha. In the Parsha, at the end of Bechukotai, that talks about assessments and determining whether somebody can pay or Ashur Tasig Yado, 10 times it says the word Kohen, and therefore you have to have 10 people. The mentions of Kohen are miutim, so that only one of them has to be a Kohen, but there have to be 10 people. But Rabbanan's position of three, what's the source? If you're going to say, because it says coin three times in the context of karka, so in that case where it says four, there should be only four on the bait. If that's the case, in the case of karka, we say you need nine plus a coin, not four. So the answer is that the total comes out to be 10, so hekdesh, by that time there's 6 kohanim written. So libishita, so you should need 6. So the answer is kasha, we don't know where 3 came from. Okay, we said ha'arachina metaltalin needs 3. My arachina metaltalin, gidol amarav ba'omer erach kli ze'alai. If somebody says, I'm giving the value of this kli, damarav gidol amarav, Ha'omer erach kli ze'alai, if somebody makes such a statement, looks at a particular kli and says, I'm giving the value of this kli to the mikdash, notein damav, you give its value. It doesn't have a set value, unlike people. My time, ma'adom yodeh she'in erach l'kli. Person knows that there is no really inherent value to the kli. V'gamav ha'amar l'shum damim. What he meant was the monetary value of the kli. Shumachin notein damav. So hay arachin metaltalin, arachin shal metaltalin mibayalei. But that shouldn't be called arachin hametaltalin, amitaltalin. It should be arachin shal metaltalin, the value of metaltalin. So the answer is tani arachin shal metaltalin. You're right, in one version of our Mishnah, that's what it reads, arachin shal metaltalin. V'chistam ravimi b'matpis metaltalin arachin. He says, no, it's arachin hametaltalin. What it means is when you have an erech and you're matpis it, you associate it with metaltalin. So harachin hametaltalin, it should be metaltalin shal arachin b'ayle. Again, the language is wrong. It should be metaltalin shal arachin, meaning you have metaltalin have taken on an erech. So the Talmud Tani metaltalin shal arachin, we have a version of that also. Rabbi Abba Amar ba'omer erki alai. He says, talking about a case where a guy actually says, erki alai. Arachin metaltalin is when a guy says, my value, which is 50 shkalim, whatever the value is, however old he is, ba kohen likvot yun a metaltalin. And if the kohen comes to say, okay, you owe this amount of money, I'm going to collect your metaltalin, bishlosha, therefore you need 3 dayanim to assess how much the metaltalin are worth, before the kohen can collect. Karkot be asara, and if he comes to collect karka, you need 10. I understand if you want to take something out of Hekdesh, like to redeem something, you need 3. But if you're bringing something into Hekdesh, in other words, you're taking this money of this guy and taking it away to Hekdesh, what do I need 3 for? In other words, let me just have one guy assess it. The answer is, what's the difference if it's going in or going out? When something is changing its relationship to Hekdesh, either in or out, why is it that we can't take something out of Hekdesh with less than 3 appraising its value? Because you might make a mistake. Ayuli nami dumatoi. Same thing. When you bring something in, this guy's collecting metaltalin to make up the 50 shkalim that the fellow owes. You got to make sure that he's getting 50 shkalim and not more, not less. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says that you need 10. Papa babai bishtam Rabbi Yehuda hainu dichtiv kohen. I understand why Rabbi Yehuda says you need a kohen on the beitin because it says kohen. So according to the Rabbanan, why does it say Kohen in the Parsha if they don't require a Kohen for the appraisal? The answer is Kasha. At the end of that Mishnah said, Karkaot tisha v'kohen and ve'adam kayotzei behen, meaning if you're redeeming Karka, you need 10, of which one is a Kohen. And same thing if you're redeeming a person, paying the erech of a person. Minhani mili, how do we know this? Amar Shmuel, again, asara kohenim ketuvim in the Parsha. Tez Kohen 10 times in the Parsha. Chad legufe. One is for the fact you need a kohen. Hanachave miut achar miut. The next one is each a miut after miut, meaning only a kohen, only a kohen, only a kohen. Vein miut achar miut al rabot. But each one of those actually is marbet. Da filu tisha Yisrael v'chad kohen. So that means you could even have 9 Yisrael and 1 kohen, which means you start out by saying kohen, and then you think it has to be all kohanim, and now it says only a kohen, only a kohen, but each miut achar miut is the rabot. So you end up saying you could really have 9 Yisraelim. Matga Rav Huna, Bered Rav Natan, Ema Chamisha Kohen V'Chamish Yisraelim. So maybe if each miut is subsequently is Marbe, but the next one knocks it back. So you should end up with 5 and 5, not 9 and 1. And the answer is Kasha. This is a sug you had in Megillah also. V'Adam Kayotze Bahen. So Adam I Kadosh. Wait, since when is a person Kadosh? If a person says, not erki alai, which is a set value, in which case we don't have to go anywhere, just check your birth certificate, but rather a person says, the monies that I'm worth on me. We have to assess him as if he's an eved. The eved eat kash lekarkot. An eved, we know, they're like karka, and therefore you need 10. Boy, Rabbi Avin, Seyar ha'omed li gazeiz b'chama. Let's say that a person says, this hair that I'm about to cut, I'm being mocked. It's not cut yet. Do we say it's like it's already cut and it's metaltalin, or it's mechuber to the person, you need 10. Toshma makdish avdo ein mo'alin bo. If a person's makdish is eved, and then somebody else uses it, that's not me'ila. He disagrees and says, if you use his hair, then it's me'ila. Kaimon b'saro ha'meli ligzoz pligi. And we already know that that machloket is about hair that's about to be cut. Shma mina, so you see that hair that's about to be cut is self-machloket, whether or not it's considered mechubar or talush. So ne mahani tanoi kahani tanoi, so maybe that machloket tani parrots this one. Tanan Rameir Omer, yesh tvarim shehin kakarka, v'enan kakarka. Famous thing Rameir says, some things are considered like karka, but they're not karka. V'en chacham modim lo, ketzad. Eser gefanim te'unot masarti lecha. A guy comes and says, I gave you 10 laden, full vines. V'halo mer enan el chamesh. The other guy says, no, you only were mafkid 5. Now, the problem is that these are vines, so they're karka, and you can't be nishban kfirat karkot. On the other hand, they were laden with grapes about to be picked. Rameir mechayev chomim kol mechobel karka, reko karka. Rameir says, you're chayev shvua because it's like metaltalin. We're talking about grapes about to be picked. Mar Sava Kibsurota. I mean, Rav Meir holds, if they're about to be picked, they are as if they're picked and they're metaltalin. And you're arguing about 10 vines worth of grapes. Mar Sava Lav Kibsurota. I mean, Chachamim say no. They're not cut. They're not cut, which means they're part of the ground, and you're being kofar on karka. Lo, afilu temer Rav Meir. It could be that Rav Meir would accept both Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Chachamim in the earlier machlok. And ad kalam kumar Rav Meir hatam kol kama deshav kalahu. A mayor says, you know why I consider those grapes to already be cut? Because if the longer you leave them on the vine, the worse they're going to get. They need to be cut. Therefore, they must be considered cut. When it comes to hair, the longer you leave it on the head, the better it gets. And so therefore, in the case of the Eved, I would say we don't consider it as if it's already cut. So even our mayor might disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay, the next Mishnah takes us to Dina Nefasha. Dina Nefasha, we said you need 23. Kapasik v'tani loshna roveya zachar v'loshna roveya nekeva. It said roveya and needs 23, and it doesn't. And we didn't distinguish between whether the person having relations with the animal is a male or female. Bishlema roveya nekeva. I understand when the person is a woman having a male animal come on her. There you have a pasuk that says, kill the woman and the animal, and it compares the two. El rovea zachar menal, and how do I know if the person is a male, the female animal, how do I know that it's, you need 23? Dichtiv, kol shochev im behema motumat. Right? So it says anybody who lies with an animal will die. Im eno inyan l'shochev, teneo in l'nishkav. So, if we don't need this for the case of a shochev, because I already know that, therefore I must apply it to the nishkav, meaning the animal. It compares the two. Ma shochev hu uvehem tob esri mushlosha. Just like when somebody has relations with the animal, he and the animal have to have 23. Af nishkav hu uvehem tob esri mushlosha. Same thing if it's a male sleeping with the female animal. The female animal also, that din needs to be 23. Okay, shor, the next thing it said in the Mishnah was that when you're killing an animal because it killed somebody, killing a shor, they need 23. Shenemar, hai, that the literal read is that when an animal kills, shor muad, kills a person, the animal is killed and the master is killed. Why is it there? Kamitat balim, kach mitat ashor. We compare the death of the master with the death of the shor, needs 23. So Abaye turned to Rav and said, why do we think that the pasuk of Vigambalav Yumat is there to say that the, just like the master, when he's killed, needs 23, so the animal, maybe it means you kill the master. So im ken lechtov Vigambalav, just say Vigambalav, Velishtok, and then I have to say Yumat. So the Abaye says, if that was the case, I would think Gambalav means he gets skila also. Skila sakadaita. Kataliu b'sayif amono b'skila. Think about this. If you yourself kill somebody, you get sayif, which is less of a severe execution. If your animal killed, you're going to get skila. In other words, we're here working with the Havmin, the owner's going to be killed. But there's no way he's going to be killed b'skila, because that's worse than what you would get for yourself killing. So maybe it says yumat, and it's there to make it lenient. To lower it down to the lightest of the executions, it is chenek. So chenek chamur. So it would work if you said chenek is more severe. There's a machlok, we'll see later in the masachet, about which is the most severe and the least severe of the executions. Skil and sreifa, everybody agrees are the most severe. Question is which is most. Chenek and Saif are the least severe, and again, a machloket of which is worse. Manda chenek kal, mika lememer, but according to the one who says chenek is lighter, is killed, then how would you answer it? So, lakal sakadat echtiv and kofi yushat alav. There's no way in the world you could read this pasuk as saying that the owner dies, because the next pasuk says that if he pays a ransom, then that's what he pays, and he doesn't die. Visakadat avaktolo, but if you think he's really supposed to die, you're not allowed to take kofar for somebody who's supposed to die. So obviously he's not really supposed to die. He's supposed to be considered as if he's dying, and he pays his way out. No, maybe that's exactly the reason. In the Parshan Maaseh, it means If you kill somebody with your own hands, then you can't pay your way out. Katal shoro lifok nafsho mamona. But if your shor kills, you'll die, but you can pay your way out. In other words, lotchu kofer is only when you yourself did it. But maybe, really, you should die if your animal did it, but you can pay your way out. Alamachizkia v'chein tan devechizkia makra mot yumata makeh rotzeach. In that same passage, it says, the killer will die. You only kill him for his killing. You don't kill him if his animal killed somebody. So therefore, we have to go back and read the pasuk v'gambalav yumat, not as literally, and say it's there to tell me that just like if his master were to die for something else, he'd need 23, so the shor needs 23. At Har Sinai, we're told that any animal who goes up to the mountain will be killed. Well, how much kind of judging is it? Miga Marshami Doro, do we learn the unique circumstance of that moment from perennial law, eternal law, in which a shor being killed needs 23? Olo, maybe it's your own mamon, your animal went up on the mountain when it wasn't supposed to, it's killed, but 3. Toshman, Tanur Mechezkel, Imbe, Maim Ish Lo Yechia, Ma Ish Machav Gimel, Pe Ma Machav Gimel. In that same pasuk, it says, whether an animal or person will not live. And so therefore, just like if a person is to be killed, it's with 23, similarly with an animal. And we then said, Ha'ariv Azev, the list of the famous Muadim, Adov, Anamer, Bardales, all need 23. And then Rabbelezer said, anybody who kills him first, that's his chut. Roshlokech v'ushe mitu, that's only if they already killed. Then you can go and kill him. Avalohi mitu lo. But if they're just wandering around or threatening, you can't kill them. Alma kasava yeshlan tamud v'yeshlan balim. So obviously he holds that these animals could be domesticated and could be owned. Yochanan says, no, even if they haven't yet killed, they're just wandering around, you could kill them. Korner Belazar. Alma kasavar enlam tabut ve'enlam balim. So he must hold, they can't be domesticated, they can't be owned, therefore they're not the property of anybody. Tanan, Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Kol HaKodem, Hargan, Zacha. So Rebbe Lazar said, whoever kills them first, that's his chut, and by the way, he gets to keep them. Bishtamal, Rebbe Yochanan, my Zacha, Zacha Loran. I understand what Zacha means. Zacha means he gets to keep the animal, the pelt. Reshlokesh, the my Zacha. According to Reshlokesh, what does he get? They might be owned by somebody. Kevan Shemitu, Shemin Abaran, Keman, the Gomer, Dinayu, Visure, Hano, Aninu. Since, according to Reshlokesh, that you can only kill them if they've already killed, they should be Isure, Hano, like a Shorhaniskal, and therefore you can't get any Hano. So my Zacha, Zacha, La Shamayim, meaning you did a good thing. Tanya Kavatei Reshlokesh, we have a bright that supports Reshlokesh. Echad Shor Shemit, Vechad Behema, Vechaya Shemitu, Vechav Gimel. If they killed, you need 23. So we have a braita in which two ways Rabbi Eliezer's statement explicitly supports Rish Lakish. First of all, it says that if they already killed, and second of all, it says Zacha means Zacha Lashamayim. Okay, and Rabbi Kiva says that seems to pair at the Tanakama, and that is they need 23. Kiva Hainu Tanakama, the answer is Ikabe Nau Nachash. Kiva and Tanakama disagree about Nachash, and Bekiva included the Nachash in the list of the Muadim, and Tanakama did not. Okay, we'll pause this point. In the next podcast, Mirza Hashem will pick it up and go and begin discussing Dinei HaShevet and all of those things that require 71. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.